Assurbanipal II created a new capital at Kalhu, which is the ancient name, or Nimrud, the modern name. He moved the center of government from its original capital at Assur. The move to Nimrud gave the king a more central and defensible location from which to govern his expanding empire, and it would remain the capital of Assyria for the next 150 years. Ashurnasirpal created an entirely new concept of power and luxury in his royal residence. The palace was large, even by the standards we've seen before. At Nimrud, the walls encompassed a 4-mile complex and required over 70 million bricks to build. Within the walls were included administrative, religious, and domestic quarters for the king in the southern part of the city. We've encountered Assurbanipal's palace before. Nimrud was one of the earliest excavations in Iraq. It was conducted first by Austin Henry Layard and then continued by Max Mallowan. Also, you may remember from the lecture on food and drink that we described the opening of Assurbanipal's palace. It was here that he held his 10-day feast for 69,574 guests. The size of the new Assyrian capital was an innovation, but Ashurnasirpal also introduced the idea of stone relief sculpture as a decorative device in royal palaces. This was a new idea in Assyria at the time, and it seems to have come from the great Hittite palaces in the west. Ashurnasirpal was probably impressed when he saw these vast stone complexes of the Hittites, and he wanted to use this idea to convey the same idea of power in his new capital. The concept would be adopted with great enthusiasm by later cultures, especially the Persians, who succeeded the Assyrians in taking over this land. The palace courtyard was decorated with sculpted reliefs, as was the throne room of the palace. Relief sculpture is typical of Assyrian art, and the reliefs were set in long rows. At Nimrud, the slabs are about 6 feet high, and so we get a sense of almost a cartoon strip narrative of the events that are being portrayed. In the courtyard, rows of figures brought tribute to the king, and this would represent the king's authority and the wealth of his empire. Examples of the goods that are included in this sculpture number textiles, metal vessels, and a pair of apes, likely brought from the western state of Phoenicia. Ashurnasirpal also records that he had a pair of apes brought from Phoenicia as part of their tribute. The inner court was protected by huge winged bulls with human heads. These figures guarded important passageways, and they really gave a sense that the king was under the protection of the gods. You had to pass by the gods, these deities, in order to achieve access to the king. One tidbit to note about the Assyrian winged bulls. Originally, they had 5 legs, so that from the profile and straight on, you could see that the bull had 4 legs. No matter what angle, there would be 4 legs. But in order to achieve that, they had to carve 5. We'll see that the Persians later on dispense with this somewhat bizarre appearance. Inside the throne room, the king was shown participating in religious rituals or in the presence of mythological creatures. Winged human figures with eagle heads are especially typical of the Assyrian art. He is also shown killing lions as well as battling enemies. We'll return to this image of the king in a later lecture and focus on his lion hunts. But for now, keep in mind that these scenes are presented on permanent materials and in a much larger scale than we've seen before.